And we'll be back next week. We will be working very hard to solve these problems, and then we will be with you here same time, 6 p.m. on Friday with Good Medicine, your host, Roya White Eagle Taylor. I got to jump in my little steel pony and take off here. Actually, not going down to the White Eagle Lodge on the banks of the beautiful Minnehaha Creek, but I'm going to be heading out to meet family. We've got new family members we're adding all the way from Michigan via Brooklyn, and they've been in town. So we're having a farewell dinner tonight, and then one of them, Deborah in particular, will be heading back to Brooklyn via Michigan tomorrow. So we're going to say goodbye to her. That's courtesy of our son, Rory. I've told you about him. He was on last week with me. And then his significant other, Phoebe. So we're going to spend some time with them this evening. So I hope you enjoyed this hour. I enjoyed bringing it to you. We'll be back here next week with sort of a end to the year, a send-off. By then, we will have already started the new year, but that's okay. We're running always a little on Indian time here at Good Medicine. So, all right. Coming up next, then, is Robert Pilot, Wakunja Hade with Native Roots Radio. You're listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFEI 90.3 FM HD1 in Minneapolis and St. Paul, and streaming around the globe at kfei.org. We are non-commercial, community-powered radio. Support for this program comes from KFEI listener members and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Programming on KFEI is made possible in part through grants from the state of Minnesota and listeners just like you. It is currently 37 degrees in the Twin Cities, with light rain falling.
The viewpoints expressed in this program are the opinions of the people expressing them, and not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.
What's up? This is Toolman.
And this is Bear Witness.
And we are the Hallucination.
And you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, Best Of.
The Hallucination.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, any cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade, which means distant thunder. Hey, Cudigy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Chuzhunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Well, I like to bring that up and do the intro the same way to hear you just say I was right. So I'm right once a day, and that's good to know. We have a really, you know, I always say this, but we have a really exciting show today. And our friend Leah Lim, that I have not seen and we look up to here, and you're a real pro. So we have to really be on our good behavior here, Leah. But I just want to give you a quick intro here and then get right to it. Leah Lim is a senior editor with the Minnesota Public Radio, leading the Native News Initiative. And you are a radio host, producer, songwriter, singer, citizen of a Mille Lacs band of Ojibwe, and your work revolves around sound, music, voice, community story sharing with the mission to amplify Native voices. And that was a mouthful, but I know you do more than that. Welcome to Native Roots Radio.
Thank you, Robert.
Yes. Hey, we're here to talk about your documentary, but I just also want to just start out by saying you do so much great work for the community, amplifying our voices, and you've been doing it for a long time. And I remember years ago, I was on your brother's, you were in your brother's show, and we had such a great time. I'm sure you edit out a few things I said, but I appreciate you lost your minds, I think.
Sometimes that's necessary. But yeah, thank you so much, Robert. I think I have such a joy, you know, in doing this work. And I also look up to you.
Oh, that's probably because I'm just a few inches taller than you, but I appreciate
that. I always forget that until I see you out in the real world.
Right. Yeah. Right. Well, you know, I just want to know, how did you first get in? We're going to talk about your documentary, but I want to talk about first, how did you first get into storytelling and writing for NPR and Native News?
Well, this is my favorite long and winding story, because nothing is ever a straight line, right? I grew up always loving music, not liking public speaking, however, but mostly music, singing, playing instruments. I played the violin, I played the piano, and I started making songs, you know, as a young kid, and writing little poems. So kind of over the course of college and things like that, I really explored more when it came to songwriting, singing, and recording of those things. So I became enamored with recording voice, whether that was through singing or speaking, so more of the oral tradition direction. And so I actually am a Boomerang employee at NPR APM, and I was first there for several years doing work behind the scenes in broadcast operations. And so I was doing the technical side of things, which is so fun, and spent a lot of time listening, right? So a lot of this work, as much as we love talking, and I can go on here, but as much as I love talking, most of the work is listening. And so I spent a lot of time listening to the airwaves, whether it was NPR, whether it was other, you know, news outlets around the world, Canada, and I noticed kind of a lack of Native voices. And so it kind of spurred something in me to try to remedy that at least a little bit. And so I kind of set out on my own and did a bunch of freelance work, studied more about creative writing, did my MFA, and just really dived into Native storytelling, journalism, oral tradition, and just conversation, really, with that hope to amplify Native voices and just to be able to hear our voices on the airwaves more and more.
Well, and I agree. I love radio too, because it's the theater of the mind. And that was an old quote from the old radio I listened to years and years ago on WCCO at night when they would do the plays. That's how old I am. Hey, but we're talking today about your experience producing your documentary, also Finding Manoomin, A Search for the Spirit of Wild Rice. And you know, first of all, what a beautiful story. And also, your voice is just awesome in narrating and talking about your story. I really appreciated that. How did this come into fruition?
Yeah, it's kind of fun. So this kind of is the part of the story where I become that Boomerang employee back to NPR News is... I was having conversations with folks at NPR about exploring water, like the significance of water and how to get into the conversation about water. And what came to mind was wild rice and my own, for lack of a better word, I guess, failure in knowing a lot about it. I knew I liked to eat wild rice. I knew I liked to cook. And yeah, that was about it. That's the end of the list right there. But I knew there was so much history and so much meaning and things like that behind Manuman, our Manuman relative. And so I thought, what a nice way to explore the ideas of how we are, you know, as Ojibwe people and a lot of times Native people, interacting with our environment and having a different form of relationship with, you know, what we consider relatives, you know, as far as plants and animals and water. And so I started working on this project through NPR News. I started on it before I was hired back. It was only a few weeks there in between, and then transitioned full time into my role as senior editor with Native News at NPR News. And so this was another project I got to work on in parallel with my work as an editor. And so really, it started out, like I said, as this exploration of what is Manuman? What does it mean to my community, you know, with the Mille Lacs Band of Ojibwe? And kind of discovered more opportunity for exploration, I guess, in that, because what I thought was going to be a simple, like, hey, let's look at migration. Let's look at, you know, what does Manuman mean with the Goodberry? You know, where do we go? What's the process of, you know, the sticks and the poles and the canoes? It led me to a conversation with my own family, like talking with my dad, Bill Primo, about our own history with interacting and being a part of cultural traditions like ricing, which we weren't growing up. And so we had that conversation in the documentary as well.
Well, you know, you also, it's a family affair too. I was going to bring that up, and your son's involved too. And I can't wait to grill you more here in the next segment here.
I look forward to it.
Right on. Hey, we're here with Leah Lim, and we're talking about finding Manuman, a search for the spirit of wild rice. And what a great title. And I'm excited to get on that next, right after this commercial break. I know NPR doesn't have commercials per se, but we have to pay the bills here. We'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio.
To our elders who teach us of our creation and our past, so we may preserve Mother Earth for ancestors yet to come, we are the land.
This is dedicated to our relatives before us thousands of years ago and to the 150 million who were exterminated across the Western Hemisphere in the first 400 years' time.
Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Hey, we are here with Leah Lim, and we are talking about her documentary, Finding Manuman, a Search for the Spirit of Wild Rice. And before we get too far into this, let our listening audience know where we can find this.
Yeah, there's a bunch of stuff you can check out when it comes to the documentary, and it can all be found on nprnews.org/wildrice.
I like how you did the visual.
It's a personal reminder to myself, you know, whoop, there's a slash there. And what's fun also on the website, besides the full documentary, which is about almost a half an hour long, is a letter to the audience. And I also spent, in the documentary, you'll see me cooking, you'll see me interacting with my kid, things like that. I've included a quick and easy recipe for Ojibwe fried rice, which involves thick cut bacon. So obviously it's delicious. And since I'm a radio person as well, I also did an hour long audio companion, which you can also check out on nprnews.org/wildrice.
Absolutely. I'm going to go back and listen to that. Hey, I don't know if you know this, Liam, but my son-in-law is Ojibwe. So as you know, we're Ho-Chunk and the people of the Sacred Voice, but my son-in-law is Ojibwe, and I really I like him. So I want to hear, can you tell our listeners a little bit about the migration story of the Ojibwe people?
Yeah. And you know, what's fun is my kid is in sixth grade. So he actually had a unit on the Ojibwe migration and he told me about it earlier this year. So that was kind of fun. But, you know, we originate kind of in more of the Northeast Canada area. And there was a prophecy or a dream that says, you know, you need to start moving west. And at some point you will come across food that grows on water. And this will be your indication that this is where you should live. And so there are several different spots along the way. I think 6 or 7 different locations where Ojibwe folks settled according to that prophecy. And so one of them, and for our people, for the Mille Lacs band, we went to Mille Lacs. So that's kind of how people came and moved west. And what I love is I visit in the documentary, the Mille Lacs Indian Trading Post, Mille Lacs Indian Museum and Trading Post, and speak with Travis Zimmerman. And he gives a good overview, and there's a lot of good information there as well.
I think it's a beautiful story, you know, and where food floats on water and you found wild rice. And I just think that's beautiful. You know, can you tell our people listening about the significance of wild rice and what that means to Ojibwe people?
Well, and that's kind of what this documentary explores, right? Because, you know, I can only assume so much, and you know, maybe I'll tell you a little bit of a story that didn't come across in the documentary, but I did talk about in the audio companion. Is not long after I went out racing with the crew, Pat Cruz and his family, my uncle passed away. And, you know, we all got together at the community center and we're, you know, getting our, you know, the food ready and, you know, ceremony. And Michaela, who's also in the documentary, nudged me. She's like, Leah, the rice dish here was harvested by Pat Cruz. So the person that I went out racing with was the person that provided a lot of the wild rice for the ceremony. And so I found it to be this lovely, like, connecting through line among community, among ceremony, that I knew in ceremony there with this food, that this food was gathered by somebody local, somebody who put thought and care into the process of ricing. And so when I think about what it means to the community, I think what I discovered is that it brings people together. It brings family together, it brings community together, and shares the love that went into the process of harvesting and preparing wild rice and cooking wild rice. So it really is this like glue, this adhesion that helps bring people together.
Yeah, that's really interesting too. And I know you're an artist too, a beader, and there's a prayer within every bead. And we talk a lot here about asking people if you're going to buy something like that, who made this? Because there is so much community, like you say, with wild rice and involved in our art too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's this energy, this sharing of energy, positive energy in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. What else would you like to talk about? I told you in the chat, I'm nervous because you're a pro and I'm here 8 years on the radio. I'm still stumbling around, but I really appreciate you coming on. What else?
Yeah. Well, you know me, just make the mic hot and I'll just take it from there. No. but I do want to share that one of the most significant learning moments for me in the documentary is how open and willing people are to share those traditional ways with others, with people who want to learn. Because, you know, as a newbie, when it comes to wild rice, like, I'm not going to be good at it. Who would be good at it? You know, I try to learn Ojibwe Mwen as I can. I try to learn artsy things that I try and fail at, right? That I want to stress the lesson of opening oneself up to learning and understanding that it is okay to not know something and to ask for help. And so in that process, I realized how willing community members were to help you learn. And so not to be ashamed, you know, of not knowing something, when the goal is to keep these cultural practices alive. So mm-hmm. if that's the goal, we don't need to be ashamed of it, of not knowing something. Because, you know, if we work together, we can, you know, keep it alive. And, you know, I'm 40 something years old and never went ricing before. And, you know, in my age, I got out there and wasn't too bad at it. So I can always get out there again.
Well, and that's something you learned on your trip through this, because you said do you have a right to do this as a 30 something year old person in the documentary?
40 something. Yes. Thanks.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, and that's a good way to put it too. There's people out there. I know, it's funny. I have a great friend, Barry Hand, that when I try and speak Ho-Chunk to him, because he knows some Ho-Chunk, he says, just keep doing it. It's not right or wrong. And that's the same vein of that. I just want to touch too a little bit. You played some music into this documentary?
I did. Yes. So a part of this was I was inspired by what I saw, by the people that I interacted with, and seeing kind of a family come together on the water, that I wrote a song and as kind of a gift back to the participants. So I sang and wrote it, and my brother, Mr. Cole Primo, played guitar.
Right on. Wow. I just, we have to do this again, and we have to have a whole show with you, because this is, time's flying by really fast. I'm with Leah Lim, and she's a radio host, songwriter, citizen of Mille Lacs, Band of Ojibwe, and we're talking about her documentary. If we can, my producer here, who's this show would not happen without my Chujunk, we have 1 minute left, as you see. That's where can we find this great documentary, Haley?
That's a great question. You can go to nprnews.org/wildrice and you can find the 30-minute documentary as well as Leah's song and the 60-minute audio documentary that goes along with it.
I just want to say, Leah, we got to get you on again. I really, really appreciate what you do for the community, and knowledge is power. And thank you so much for coming on.
Hey, Chimiguich. Thanks for having me.
We'll talk to you real soon. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio. Up next, we have, who do we have? Representative.
We're going to have Minnesota State Rep Jessica Hansen is going to be back joining us.
Exactly. You pass the test. Hey, we'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio.
is Leonard Pelt here. I am in Coleman 1 U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Hey, we have a special guest here, Jessica Agorno, Turtle Mountain Chippewa, American Indian Family Center, Behavior Health Director, and AIFC Historian. Welcome to Native Roots Radio.
Thank you so much for having me. Glad to be here.
Right on, right on. So I'm going to grill you with some questions here. So our listening audience and people on YouTube and Facebook and all over and Twitter can see you and hear you. And at first, I'd like you to introduce yourself to the listeners and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, my name is Jessica Gorno, and I am the Behavioral Health Director at the American Indian Family Center. I'm originally from the Turtle Mountain Band of Chippewa out of Belcourt, North Dakota, but I've been here in the Twin Cities since 1998. So I am, I love living in Minnesota. I also miss my homeland, but I am really happy to be here.
And I assume a Vikings fan.
Well, you know, I don't want to get in trouble. I'm not a big sports fan in general.
Oh, that's a good answer. That's a safe answer.
Yeah, it's a safe answer. Exactly. We have a lot of people. We have Green Bay Packer fans and Vikings fans all on the same team at the Family Center who, as you know, on those days when they're playing, get to be pretty intense days.
Yeah, we'll move on from that question. Sorry about that. So how long have you been with the American Indian Family Center?
I just had my 20. I've been there for 25 years. So I've been there quite a time. Yeah.
You started when you were 10, huh?
Oh, thank you for that. I wish. No. Yeah, When I moved here, I was working at what they call Hennepin Healthcare now. And I got really lucky because they needed to find me a mentor. And they found me a Native American mentor who was working at the Family Center at that time. And I was really feeling disconnected because I wasn't around my people anymore. And I needed to feel connected to the Native community. And she brought me over there and I just felt that's home. And so that's where mm-hmm. I landed.
Wow. Awesome. So can you tell us where is AIFC and who accesses your resources and programs?
Oh, yeah, that's a great question. We are on the east side of St. Paul, so we're at 579 Well Street in St. Paul. And depending on the programming that you're coming into, we serve the whole Tri-City area, so the metro area primarily. But we do have people who are coming from, like, Forest Lake at times or farther away that we do see virtually in those circumstances when it's needed. If you're coming into our mental health or chemical dependency programming, that's specific to Ramsey and Hennepin, although we have taken people from other counties because the need is just so high.
It's interesting.
No. So everybody has access no matter what. So we encourage people, no matter if it's a particular program that has specific, you know, guidelines around it, we try to find a way to help everybody.
Oh, what's the AIFC known for? What are they known for?
Well, you know, I would say it's a couple of things. I think it's evolved over time. But what I would say that it's known for is trying to be a one-stop shop for the Native community, specifically in St. Paul, at least, because we're able to provide multiple different programs that hopefully when they walk in the door, they can have one place to go and receive that supportive service. We have been really pushing, though, for the integration of tradition and values and ceremony into everything that we do at the Family Center. And that has definitely increased over the years, to the point where we now have elders in residence who are able to help people with those pieces, because we truly feel that the only way that people can heal is through their traditions and values. So I would say that would be another part of what we're known for. So we really try to help people with that and to provide that supportive service so that they can heal in the way that they need to heal.
Well, wow, that's amazing. And I think that's a big theme here at Native Roots Radio. And you fit right in with that theme. And it's great for people to hear that all over Turtle Island and our and our white allies too. I think it's so important. One of the things that go hand in hand, and I've just celebrated 40 years of sobriety. I believe that a lot of it, from what I understand from my small window, is that a lot of homelessness has to do with drug and alcohol abuse.
Oh, yes. Highly agree. I would say that's also one of the areas where we have gaps and that we really want to make sure that we start to cover, which is having people dedicated, just being able to support and serve the people that are in our homelessness camps.
Yeah, it's a sad and amazing thing that's really come up the last few years. And I believe there's always been a homeless issue, but I think since the Wall of Forgotten Natives and just the times, the groups of people have started their own villages, in a sense, and really it's really hard for us to see that because it's right in our face, and before it was pretty hidden. So kudos to the work you guys do. It's so important.
Can I add something else to that? When you brought up the whole sobriety thing, you know, they spend a lot of time just talking about the stats about the high use of alcohol and or drugs in the Native community. But what they fail to mention is that when Native people get sober, they stay sober longer than other groups that they're talking about. And everyone that I've talked to who's gained long-term sobriety has talked about that through their traditions and through their ceremonies and the things that they've learned with their culture as their resilience and why they are able to maintain that. So I just wanted to do a shout out for that, because I don't think a lot of people talk about that, and I think it should be.
Wow, really good point, Jessica. Really good. Are your services free? That's a question that Haley came up with. No, she came up with all of them.
Good job, Haley. Yeah, I would say that. Well, it's most of it is free. What I would say though, when it comes to the mental health and chemical dependency programming, if they do not have insurance, we have MNsure navigators that help them to get that insurance. We still serve them regardless. So that service is completely free, but it does go through insurance. So in one way, it is not free. But even if they don't have insurance or there's no way for them to get that for whatever reason, we still serve them. All of the programs are completely free. I would say that the only ones that have the limitations are the mental health and chemical dependency ones in regards to the counties we serve.
Yeah, and sometimes you can get, Rule 25 to help them navigate through that, because a lot of people don't understand how that works. And, I believe if is the best we can mainstream this, or I should say, you know, put it in a fast track, the quicker we can help our people. But you do more services than that, too.
Oh, yeah, we do a lot more services. We provide the very first services that started at the Family Center was through women's health. So the reduction of infant mortality rates in the community. So that's where it started from. Then we added our mental health services, our chemical dependency. And then we added our father's programming, our father and men's support programming, as well as our youth programming. In addition to that, we have our employment services. We have housing services. And we have elder services now. That is our last category of our elder services is starting to slowly grow. So that is one really much needed area that we saw a significant gap in and really hope to expand on and support. So we have quite a bit going on there.
That's awesome. And I just want to remind everyone that's jumping on the radio, we're with Jessica Gorno, and she is a behavioral health director at AIFC, and we are really pleased to have you on here. I know the community really appreciates what you guys do. I've been to open houses and gotten some cool t-shirts over the years, and And you guys do great work. And sometimes it's a little hard to find you, though. I mean, can you tell people out there listening how we can get to your building?
That's a great question. We are in a little bit of a flux, just to let you know. We are looking at having to find another site so that we can fit everybody. We're growing so large that we're running out of space. So we are in that process. But currently the best way to find us now is our social media presence. So we do have our website, www.aifcmn.org. And in that website is where you'll find the different sorts of events and things that we are doing that are open to the public. So that is the best way. If you were to go to the website and go to events, you'll be able to see a lot of the different events that are going on. And then in addition to our webpage, we often at least 2 times a week post on our Facebook and our other social media channels that we have up and running. And those are good places to go and look.
Yeah. Before we take a break, Jessica, do you mind letting people know? I always like a call of action to our listeners out there, how they can support you, where they can go and give some Judah to you.
Oh, that's awesome. Basically, anytime you can promote or share what we have for people, please share that information. Please let them know, for instance, they can walk in the front door and ask for traditional medicines. We have traditional medicines. We have oils. We have sprays. Anything that they want, they don't need to say anything. They can just walk into the front desk and say, hey, I'd like to get some medicines. And then if they want to come in and have a conversation and or just visit with us, we love to do that. We can have coffee in the kitchen area and there's a lot of laughter going on. So,
well, we know Indians love to laugh, and we'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake.
Stay with us. Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Wow, we are back here, and we are back here with Jessica Gorno, who is and works with the American Indian Family Center as a behavioral health director and a AIFC historian. And we're really excited to have you on and learn so much about your organization. Haley, I know we talked prior to the show about some things. Why don't you take a couple questions here?
Aw, thank you, Dega, Pina Geeky. Well, it's great, Jessica, to talk to you today. I've been able to attend some of the American Indian Family Center's events, and it's always a great, lovely time, and it just feels like surrounded in communities, like surrounded like by families. So I know there's a couple events coming up for AIFC, including the full moon ceremony, which is actually tonight.
Yes.
And that happens at the Bellwin Conservancy in Afton, Minnesota, which is not too far from East Side St. Paul. Is there anything else going on that you want to mention or bring up for events?
Sure. They also have, in addition to the full moon ceremonies, they also do a lot of youth sweats up there as well. So they have men's sweats, women's sweats, but they also have youth sweats going on there in addition to that. I would say some of the things I would like to kind of talk about and or promote are a couple of the different sorts of groups that are going on. We do have, if you were to go to the website, you would see that there is a men's smudge and support group that happens every Monday night, which is this evening, occurring from 6 to 8 p.m. And that group has been really helpful and supportive to the men in the community that are trying to parent and or trying to find support from other men in the way that they need that. I really can't say enough great things about that. On Saturdays, They have youth drum and dance and life skills groups for youth that occur at the American Indian Magnet School on the east side of St. Paul. And that is through our youth programming. So if people are interested in that for their youth, they can connect with Pam Gokey, which is also on the website. She is the youth program coordinator, and she would be able to guide you through those supportive services. And that is just a very well-attended group. It's really great. The youth in there are so impressive. I'm always they brought really good ideas to our board meetings, advocating for more supportive services for the youth in the community. They also have explored the impact of social media on their mental health. They've talked about suicide awareness and things that are really important to them in the society that they're having to live in with right now. Another really popular group that I really want to recommend is our Thursday craft group. On Thursdays from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., we have this open to the community and public. We provide all of the resources for you to work on whatever craft it is that you want to work on. Say you want to make a ribbon skirt, a ribbon shirt, or you want to work on a project. We make that available for you. And that group is just so wonderful to go into. When I go downstairs, I just listen to people laughing and sharing. And a lot of support comes from, they give each other a lot of support when they're there. So I wanted to promote that one. In addition to that, I wanted to talk a little bit about our group called Segizen Dodem. And this is a really, really cool group. It means strengthening families in Ojibwe. And this group is a 10-week trauma-informed group that's for the whole family. This is done virtually. And what they do is they explore the impact of trauma within the Native community, but they talk about healing in our Native ways, and it follows the season. So for instance, we're in the winter season right now. So that group will go for 10 weeks in the winter. And how that works is the whole family can attend, or whoever is living in the household, and we bring supplies to you that you can work on that are related to the topics you'll be discussing in that group. And what I've noticed is that when people go through this class at least three times, they start to become mentors to other families who are coming into the group. And it's been very powerful. One of the last activities that we found that has worked really nicely is we got all these little teepees for the kids in the family, and they put them up together. And now a lot of these kids actually go into their teepee when they need to just get away from everybody, or they need to kind of regulate their bodies. They just naturally go into their little teepee, and they take their time and they do what they need to do. And that is the person to connect with on that particular group is Maria McCoy. And she is a very prominent figure in the Native community. I'm sure many people on here know who she is. And I mean, everybody knows Maria, and she's just great. And so that particular group is, I can't say enough great things about that. We also have drum and dance group on Wednesdays too, as well, at Indigenous Roots. And the contacts for those are Nate Bordeaux. So if you were to go on the website and take a look at that, anything relating to men's services or father services, he is the contact for that.
Wow, that's exciting. And I know I was a high school teacher for 30 years, and I know services from you guys came and helped tutoring and checking on people. I saw a lot of people from American Indian Family Center stop in at Harding and check on their kids.
Yeah. There's some kids that we've just been with for so long. It's so cool to see the growth and to see them be able to graduate. Or we had a young man who graduated who was so excited, and we were able to help him get his cap and gown and get his diploma get it all framed for him. He was so proud of it, and we were so proud of him. He was able to get a car and able to move on. And it's really cool when you can see, people thriving.
Yeah, definitely. And sometimes they just need that little nudge of support, and they take it the rest of the way, and we're able to really watch and feel the power. And I agree with you. There's so many young ones out there too that just need a little nudge and a little help and a little support, and you guys are doing that there.
Thank you.
So we got a couple more minutes there. Is there anything else you'd like people to know or know about you or the American Indian Family Center before we let you go?
Yeah, just I just want people to know that everybody that works at the center is very passionate about serving the Native community and serving their people. And they do go above and beyond to be there for people. So we want you to know that if you think there are things that we need to do to bring to the community that is missing, we want to hear those voices. We want to hear that, because what we do is, as soon as we hear that there is this huge need, we figure out how we're going to get that done. And I just want people to know that we are there for you, and there are people here that will work their hardest that they can do to support you. I really see us growing to the point. I would love to see us have one large building where people could come in and say youth wanted to play basketball, or they wanted to come together, that there was a place just dedicated for youth to be able to do that. I would love to have a place where people could do their traditional ceremonies indoors as well as outdoors. I would love to be able to have a place where people, if they had to have a funeral, that they had the place and the space to do that piece of it. I want to have a safe place for everybody to come and heal. And if I can think of anything that I would love to see, it would be that. It would be the ability to know that they knew where to go when they needed some help.
Wow. Yeah, definitely. And Jessica, again, American Indian Family Center, and you can find them. There's a website, Facebook, Instagram. Am I correct?
Yes, you are correct.
Cool. And then that's a support this group too. And people out there listening too, in the greater Twin City area, come on by and just come by for a couple of yucks and some coffee.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
What's that, Haley?
I said in a whole lot of laughs.
Yeah, yes. Definitely.
Yeah.
Well, that's before we let you go, Haley, let's go. Can we go through what's going on here in the next couple weeks with, because I know tonight there's something happening.
Yeah, I think the men's support group is tonight. We got the full moon ceremony in Afton. And for all the scheduling, you guys put out a great schedule every week. It's on your Instagram and Facebook page. Mm-hmm. And then your website is AIFCMN.org.
That is correct.
Perfect. Well, any last words, Jessica, before we let you go?
No, I just wanted to thank you all. I'm so appreciative of having this opportunity to be able to share all the good work that we do. And I'm glad that I found you now, because I didn't even know that this radio show was going on. So I'm definitely going to tune in every Monday.
Oh, yeah. We're on 5 days a week.
It's you're on 5 days a week. You are busy.
Yeah. Haley's busy. I just roll out of bed and ask her what the show's about.
It's like being in community and being around community members, but just behind a screen and having a conversation 5 days a week.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Yes, Haley, we'll have to have Jessica on more and do some check-ins.
Oh, yeah. I'd love to.
Thank you, Jessica. Pinigigi so much. Hope you have a great rest of your week.
You too. Bye-bye.
See you. Thank you so much. Wow, Haley, a lot going on and great information. And maybe we got a new fan, too, to listen to the show. Oh, wow.
Yeah, right on. Kind of hit all the checklists there, didn't we?
Yeah, exactly.
I love the Family Center. I love American Indian Family Center. I remember when I was moving my Gaga, my grandma, home from, I don't want to say the reservation because Ho-Chunk doesn't have a reservation, but from Wisconsin, I was moving her home. I moved her home all by myself and didn't really have support. And I reached out to American Indian Family Center, and they helped me look for housing for her, affordable housing, and specifically like Native reserved housing. So it was really nice. And I'm grateful for the Family Center for that.
Wow, that's a great story. Really, that's excellent. We are grateful for the work they do. And I know it'd be great if we could help support them to get a bigger building, because obviously they have the services and they could definitely make it work in a bigger building and maybe a better location, you know, right on the main road. No,
right off of 94 or something.
Make it easy for me. No,
it's nice because we have so many Native organizations in the Twin Cities, and it's nice because I feel like we're always going to Minneapolis for so many things, and I love Minneapolis and I love the organizations there, but St. Paul is a different kind of like home feeling as well. So the Family Center's there.
Absolutely. And do you know how long they've been around? They've been around a long time.
A long time. I couldn't tell you the exact amount of years, but
I'm going to Google that now.
Yeah, we'll find out.
Break here. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we're going to have Bob Blake from Red Lake, Solar Bear with the Solar News on. Oh, wow. Next.
Oh-ho, this is Dallas Goldtooth, and you're listening to the Native Roots Radio. Hoka, hecha, wecha.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
How?
How?
I heard you, Irvina.
Hey, I always forget, so I remembered today.
right on. Appreciate it. Hey, we're here with Irvina Martin, Executive Director of Merge Wisconsin. And I don't know if you know this about Native Roots Radio. We started 8 years ago. And the reason why we started it at first is that it was going on during Standing Rock. And all the misinformation or half stories were happening. And so we started the show. And again, how much things have changed in 8 years is not very much. We have a line six spill here in Wisconsin. And, you know, here we are. I'm going to have to, in a few months, I won't be legislator, and I'll have to put on my protest American Indian Movement jean jacket on and start protesting again.
Don't forget your bandana.
Yeah.
Maybe some sunglasses.
Yeah, make sure they're aviators.
Needed too. I could bead them for you.
Right on. Hey, yeah. Right on. Bailey's going to bead my sunglasses. Yeah, but how can we still be doing the 70,000 gallons of that nasty?
Even more, I so Haley sent me the press release, and I had not heard about it either. It said that they first estimated that it was 2 gallons, that Enbridge estimated that they had spilled 2 gallons of crude oil. And it went up several times up to 69,300 gallons of crude oil. So
it's over 100,000 in real life. They're saying those numbers.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if that, like, I don't know if that is a factor of they didn't stop the leak or couldn't stop the leak, and it started with 2 gallons and now, and it just kept going, or it, like, I don't know. It would be nice to know more information about, you know, what that, or why it changed so much, I guess. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, perhaps it was something that they couldn't fix within however many days or, you know, a month that they had. And I think, I mean, like, if that's the case, then, like, if it takes several weeks to clean, to close a hole in a spill that leaked originally 2 gallons, like, what happens when a hole that... Or some kind of damage happens and it's bigger.
Yeah.
It's terrifying.
It is terrifying. Haley, that was in Ho-Chunk land too, wasn't it?
I think it was Oakland, Wisconsin. But when I looked at the traditional territorial maps, it was Ho-Chunk ancestral land.
Kind of that area. Yeah,
I know. And it's kind of like weird how you said, Arvina, too, that you're just hearing about this, is because I found out about it over this weekend when a bunch of media people started doing stories on it. And they actually said that this was happening. They found out about the leak back in November, and they're just releasing it to the media and the public now. So we're talking about Enbridge, and this mm-hmm. is the Canadian company that does Dakota Access, Line 3, Line 5 up in Bad River.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say they want to put another... or expand what they have in Wisconsin. I still believe that our water is especially our responsibility of you know, as neighbors to the Great Lakes, that we need to protect that water. We're going to need it. A lot of people want it. And we, shouldn't be jeopardizing such a, I mean, sometimes I think, like, do people forget that we need water to live? I mean, do they think water is life is just a platitude? I mean, we won't survive without it. And it's every pipeline fails. It just, that's just how it works, you know, and we're putting a resource that we desperately need in great jeopardy.
Yeah. It's maddening and, but also not surprising, and also not surprising that this was withheld for so long too, Haley. That doesn't surprise me at all, but it still makes me angry. And it's good that we're talking about it, especially if a lot of our neighbors in Wisconsin, which we're on a lot of stations in Wisconsin, don't know about it either.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm someone who can, like, I tune into the news regularly, you know, whether it is TV news, online news, it, like, apps, like, national, local, all of it, like, I pay attention to stuff, and sometimes it's disconcerting to me to find out things that I feel like I should have known somehow because I pay attention. So people that aren't able to pay attention the same way that I am, because it's part of my job and my career that I need to, other people have other things that they need to concentrate on in order to get through their day, in order to, you know, make ends meet. And how are they supposed to hear about something like this? You know, It's scary. I mean, that makes it kind of scary too.
Right. And then, you know, my sister-in-law lives in Long Island, and we have a place out in Long Beach. And what's scary is she saw all these drones, like 30 drones, and those drones are like as big as cars, and they're not little teeny drones that are flying around. And that's concerning too. You know, there's got to be ways to block the signal from the controls of the drone, but there's a lot of frightening things going on here that we have to talk about and make it less frightening, and just let our listeners know what's going on. And
I mean, as far as the drone stuff goes, I need to do a lot more research, because I know very little about drones, except that it seems like the most people that I know that use them are teenage boys.
Well, I have two of them, but I kind of fit that now that you mention it.
No offense to any drone owners nor to teenage boys.
Yeah, and that's something out there too that's scary, you know, and that we have to talk about. And I, you know, we only have a few minutes left here too, and Arvina, I want to switch gears, talk a little bit about Merge Wisconsin right now.
Yeah.
And what's happening there, and give a plug on what on your work.
Yeah, so we were very excited to have our graduation for the class of 2024 last week. It was a lovely event and a nice intimate event, and it was really nice to kind of reunite with the folks of this cohort. If you don't know, Emerge Wisconsin is an organization that trains Democratic women and non-binary folks who feel comfortable in female-centered spaces on how to run for office and how to, you know, be a candidate. We run a 6-month training, and we will teach you everything from how to knock a door, how to make your elevator speech, how to fundraise, how to, you know, the things that you need to do to just get your name on the ballot. We go over it all, and I'm really excited. We are in the process of selecting our class of 2025. So stay tuned, because we are going to have, we will have an announcement by next month, once we've decided who all is going to be in this class. It's really exciting. There's a lot of tremendous folks that sent in their applications, and it really, you know, seeing the work that people do, you know, before they get to me is always so exciting, and it's really invigorating seeing people on their path to leadership and the things that they've taken underway. That's not the way to say it, but you know what I mean.
I do.
You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI 90.3 FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and around the world at kfai.org, non-commercial, community-powered radio.
Oh, it's bursting with ultrasonic.
Gin and tonic, please.
Oh, it's bursting with ultrasonic.
Gin and tonic.